In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So after two majestic and sacred weeks on Lake Superior, it is good to be back with you once again, to celebrate together God's bounty and love toward each of us. And something that comes to mind is that today is the last Sunday that we are in green. The green vestments and the green table covers of Pentecost, that color of lushness of summer, will soon give way in August as we switch to autumn gold. For today, we keep the green one last liturgy together. Did you ever notice that the liturgical colors, they kind of follow the seasons this time of year? Not perfectly, perhaps, but there is indeed a parallel. When spring blossoms, right, we're in our brightest white, kind of like an apple tree covered in flowers, announcing new life after winter. And just as surely as the apple tree sheds her white flowers and gets down to business of producing fruit, of living the fullness of life, using her green leaves to steadily convert sunlight to life energy, we too shed our white vestments for green, taking in the gift of the Holy Spirit and living out the daily gifts and glories of life given to us, and converting that gift of the Holy Spirit into our internal life force and producing the fruits of the newness of life. This change to green is just one of the many ways that nature informs and influences our liturgical and spiritual life. Some would say that our desert father, Anthony the Great, was the greatest of all monastic saints when it comes to communion with God and living in the Holy Spirit. Others may have equaled Anthony, but perhaps none have surpassed him. One time, a secular philosopher came from the great city of Alexandria out to the wilderness to visit Anthony and to argue with him about whether one could truly know God. The philosopher said, "You can't know God directly. Without your scripture and your other sacred writings, you would know nothing of God." And Anthony took him outside his hut and showed him the world around him and said, "My first book, sir, is The Nature of Creation, and it is always on hand when I wish to read it." It's in our spiritual DNA, it's in our humanity to encounter God first through nature. So today, on this last Sunday of July, let us learn maybe something of the greenness of God. Jesus several times refers to the Holy Spirit as water, as living water poured into our souls. And for us, after we had such a dry early summer this year, didn't we? And now, the contrast with more adequate rains. We can see that parable in action all around of the Holy Spirit being like water to us. Our mother among the saints, Catherine, once said, "Each person's soul is the earth. And just as the earth is impoverished, is nothing without water, she says, so your soul, priceless as it is nothing without the divine vitality of the Holy Spirit. Just as the greenness of the earth is a sign of life-giving water, a vital soul is one filled with the greenness of God, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit." I love in the gospel today when Jesus and his disciples feed the 5,000 families, which is like 10 to 15,000 people. We don't get an exact head count. Matthew is careful to include an interesting detail. He says that Jesus has them sit on the grass. And in Mark's gospel, he's even more clear. He says specifically, mentions that it's green grass. Jesus has them sit on the green grass. Why that detail? Well, imagine a big field of green grass, and we're talking 10 to 15,000 people. That's a big field of green grass, and everyone gets their body in full contact with the earth, in full contact with the green grass, and then they are ready to receive the miraculous bread from the hand of God. It is this contact with the greenness of creation that prepares these multitudes to receive the blessing that Jesus offers. Superior is the largest freshwater lake in the world. 3 quadrillion gallons. I looked it up. 3 quadrillion gallons. That's enough water to bury all of North and South America under a foot of water, to flood both continents underwater, all in Lake Superior. A person sits and walks by this lake for 2 weeks, gets an up-close and personal sense of the majesty and vitality of water on Earth. But one also senses this wet and green vitality hiking through the woods in search of some papling rapids in a very small brook, or in the overpowering scent of damp cedar, or in the dew dripping off a green aspen leaf, or the moss on the shady side of a rock. All of nature points to the richness of the Holy Spirit given to each of us. And on the one hand, you have the overpowering lake with more water than a person can even imagine. 20 feet away, a dragonfly sips a single raindrop, perfect size for her, from the leaf of a birch. Both water is the same. And so it is with the gift of the Holy Spirit to you. There is an infinite reservoir of grace, more than you could possibly receive in 40 lifetimes. And then there is that divine dew just your size, just when you need it. It is the one and the same Spirit, is one and the same divinity. And so it was when the multitudes set to their bodies on the green grass, each received the perfect serving of bread. Yet there were 12 baskets left over. Whatever grace you need today, there's always an overabundance still to come for you tomorrow. As St. Catherine observed, your soul is like the earth. Valuable as it is in itself, it's impoverished. It's nothing without the greenness of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the divine vitality of God's dew. St. Anthony the Great once told a skeptical philosopher that his first spiritual book, his primary go-to, as it were, was neither scripture nor sacred writings, but nature, creation itself. So maybe on this last green Sunday of our liturgical year, as you go out today, let the nature of creation teach you of the goodness and vitality of God. And let its greenness give you pause to open your heart to the portion of the Holy Spirit selected for you today. Amen.